Hi everyone and welcome to the This Week in British History podcast. Before we get started, this is an audio version of the YouTube series This Week in British History, which is available on the British History Tours channel. So just to let you know that if you want to watch so that you also get the visuals, there is a link in the show notes on this podcast which will give you the link to YouTube. But I've also recorded this, so in a way that I hope you can enjoy it fully also as a podcast. All right, let's get started. Hello and welcome to another episode of This Week in British History with me, Philippa Lacey Brule. I run a small tour company called British History Tours, and when we're not touring like in 2020, I'm doing history videos and history posts. So you can also find me on Facebook, Instagram and Pinterest if you're interested. Just search for British History Tours. And it's another episode from my garden because it's summer. We've got a lovely summer actually in Britain this year, thank goodness, because we're all stuck at home, and so I'm making the most of it. Now in this episode we're going to be covering events which happened in this week in British history, events which happened between the 3rd and the 9th of August. So a lot of the history that I cover tends to be kings, queens, parliaments, that kind of thing. And this week is going to be a little bit different because the stories that have come up this week are going to be ones, they're ones that affect either people like us in the past or actually us today. We have more engineering and technology stories today. Please don't turn off, it's not that boring. Honestly, if it was, I wouldn't cover it. We've got the Greenwich Foot Tunnel, which opened under the Thames. We do have a little bit of royalty as well, of course. We have Henry I crowned at Westminster Abbey. We have the first successful attempt at laying a cable between the UK and America. In the age now of satellites and sort of wireless technology, it's fascinating to think that the first communications sent that weren't letter sent electronically between the UK and the US were transmitted by thick cable which had to be laid through the Atlantic. So we'll talk about that. It is in this week as well that Tim Berners-Lee released his files describing what the World Wide Web would look like on the internet. You know, you're watching me through it now, so we know the impact that's had. Briefly, because I'm going to be coming back to this story on the week where we cover the 22nd of August. But on the 7th of August, 1485, Henry Tudor landed at Milford Haven with 1,500 troops. They were paid mercenary troops, and he would begin to make his way through Wales, gathering more support to meet Richard III at the Battle of Bosworth, that culminated in the Battle of Bosworth. So I will be covering that in the relevant week. The Great Train Robbery, we're going to be covering that as well. You might have heard of that, that's been made into a film. And we also had the accession of Edward VII of Great Britain, who became king after the death of his mother, Queen Victoria. On the 4th of August 1902, and the Greenwich Foot Tunnel was opened. Now, Greenwich Foot Tunnel joins Greenwich to Island Gardens, the southernmost tip of the Isle of Dogs, and it runs underneath the River Thames. And it replaced a expensive, apparently, ferry crossing. So, tough luck ferrymen, they were out of business. The project had begun in 1899, and you can still walk through the Greenwich Foot Tunnel today. And if you're visiting Greenwich, which we've talked about Greenwich lots in the past because obviously of Greenwich Palace, where Henry VIII and Elizabeth and Mary were born, and Edward VI died, and Anne Boleyn was arrested there. so we've talked about that a lot. You can still walk through Greenwich Foot Tunnel. And when you get to the other side and up onto Island Gardens, you've got a fantastic view back over the Thames to the old Royal Naval College, which stands on the site that Greenwich Palace once stood. The foot tunnel provided all-weather reliable transport access for people to go from where they were living to where they were working, usually in the London dockyards on the north side of the Thames. The first tunnel under the Thames had been built between 1825 and 1843, and that in fact now makes up part of the London Underground network. On the 5th of August 1100, Henry I of England was crowned at Westminster Abbey. He had become king on the death of his brother, William II, better known as William Rufus. William was killed during a hunting accident on the 2nd of August, and there were conspiracies as to whether that was an accident or whether he had been murdered. However, that wasn't actually the issue that Henry found himself up against initially. He rode straight to Winchester and met with the council there, and their main concern was that his elder brother Robert was still alive. So Henry and William Rufus, who just died, were sons of William I, William the Conqueror. Their elder brother Robert had been given Normandy as part of his father's will, and the lands of England were given to William Rufus, and then Henry had been given money and no lands, or some lands in counties, but not given the overlordship, if you like. Robert was still alive, and so there was a question over whether now he had a better claim to the throne. Henry, however, argued that because he had been born to the reigning king of England, he'd been born in 1068, that he had a better claim to the throne than his elder brother, Robert, who had been born before the conquest. So the tradition of giving all the lands to the eldest son hadn't actually been established in England at this point. So it's a very interesting, it was just another system of how to split lands, and in this case, obviously titles and positions of power. Henry persuaded all concerned that he did have the better claim to the throne, and there was no time wasted in making sure that was confirmed, with his coronation happening on the 5th of August. On the 5th of August 1858, the first successful telegraph line crossing of the Atlantic was completed. And as I said in the introduction, in an age of wireless technology and satellites, it's easy to forget, I think, about when all this technology required a lot of cabling, and the idea that there's this massive cabling that went through the sea at a depth of 2 miles, 2,000 miles long, to reach between actually Ireland and Newfoundland is incredible. On the 16th of August, Queen Victoria sent a message via the telegraph line to the President, James Buchanan. The short paragraph took 16 minutes to transmit. By September, the cable had stopped functioning, but the ideas behind it and the tenacity of the engineering world involved in it was not going to let that get them down. And by 1886, there was a second cable, quickly followed by a third, and transmissions of messages across the Atlantic began to be sent more frequently and more reliably. A study by the American Economic Review in 2018 found that the messages, the communication that was available to send across the Atlantic, actually increased trade across the Atlantic as well. So there was an economic benefit to this uptake in communication. Now the next story is a little bit more techy, so I'm not going to go into it in much more detail because it's the social implications that I'm interested in. 6th of August 1991, and a man called Tim Berners-Lee released files that explained his idea for a World Wide Web on the internet. So let me repeat that year. That year was 1991. Now, any of you who lived through the adoption of the internet technology, you know, you probably could make a guess as to when the World Wide Web began, but it is incredible to think that we're not even 30 years past when the idea for the World Wide Web was presented and where we are now. I'm talking to you via the World Wide Web. You know, I've got websites and blogs and all that kind of thing. We connect globally through the World Wide Web. Our next story has been created into a film. The Great Train Robbery is what I'm covering next. The 8th of August, 1963, and a post office train leaves Glasgow bound for London. It's an overnight train where the staff on board are frantically sorting out all the post ready for when it gets to London. The second carriage was the high value package carriage. So this is the one that would carry packages which had cash in it, that kind of thing. And the average value of the packages on that carriage would normally be in around the £300,000 mark. But this had been a bank holiday in Scotland, and so the value of the packages on the train was much higher, believed to be in the region of £2.3 million, around £30 million in today's money. The train was stopped by a false red signal just outside Leighton Buzzard. When the co-driver went to check, he found that the emergency telephone wires had been cut. On his way back to the train, he was attacked, as was the driver. The driver was hit over the head until he became unconscious. The gang had planned to take the train further on down the line where they had vehicles waiting to take the packages, but the man on the team, who was supposedly the one who was going to be able to drive the train, hadn't seen this type of train before, hadn't seen these type of controls, and so he couldn't actually do it. And so they had to rouse the train driver in order for him to do it. Now, interestingly, no weapons were used during the robbery, and no one other than the driver, of course, was harmed, and yet the gang got away with millions of pounds. None of them got any chance to live off their ill-gotten gain, though. They all appeared in court and were sentenced to a total of 307 years between them. Now for our final story this week. On the 9th of August, 1902, Edward VII was crowned at Westminster Abbey. Edward was the eldest son of Queen Victoria and her husband Prince Albert. Edward had been Prince of Wales and heir apparent for almost 60 years. His relationship with his mother, Queen Victoria, and his father, Prince Albert, who had obviously died many years before, was a strained one. In his younger days, Edward had gained the reputation of being quite a playboy. On one occasion, he had gone to Ireland, ostensibly to gain experience of army manoeuvres. But he gained experience in manoeuvres other than that as well, spending three nights with an actress. On his return, Prince Albert decided to go and see him and basically point out that he couldn't act like this. Yeah, he's Prince of Wales, he's heir apparent, he's bringing disrepute on the royal family, on his own family. Only 2 weeks after that, Albert had died, and Queen Victoria held Edward responsible for her husband and his father's death. Queen Victoria even once wrote to her eldest daughter, Victoria, "I never can or shall look at him without a shudder," when talking about Edward. Queen Victoria had actually died on the 22nd of January 1901, and Edward's coronation was after a long mourning period, which was sort of by this time expected. His coronation was due to take place on the 26th of June 1902. However, 2 days prior, he developed appendicitis, and so the date had to be put back. Edward's name was in fact Albert Edward, and Queen Victoria had intended for him to become King Albert. But when it came to it, Edward decided to go for his second name, Edward. And he said that that was because he did not want to diminish the name of his father, and that the name Albert should stand for his father alone. Thank you so much for joining me for this episode of This Week in British History. I hope you've enjoyed it. If you have, please make sure you're subscribed and hit the bell. Share it with friends and family if they're interested in British history. I would really appreciate it. But for now, I'll see you all next week. Take care. Have fun.